coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Everybody says, you know, a lot of people know, oh, it's my gallbladder. Now I'm going to have to get it taken out. Their thought is the only cure for the gallbladder is just to take it out. There's no thought to their lifestyle, their nutrition, and the impact that bile is having on their gut microbiome, which might be causing some other symptoms in their GI tract.
Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Hyman here. Now, so many of my patients ask me how I manage to work multiple jobs, travel frequently, well, not so much anymore, and spend time with my family and still focus on my health. I know it can seem hard to eat well when you got a lot going on, but the trick is to never let yourself get into a food emergency and to stay stocked up with the right things to support your goals. So recently I discovered Paleo Valley beef sticks. I keep these beef sticks at home and at the office, so I know that whenever I'm in a food emergency, I have a healthy and delicious option to keep me on track. It's no secret that I have high standards when it comes to what I put in my body, and Paleo Valley beef sticks checks all the boxes. They're gluten-free, grain-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and non-GMO. Plus, they use 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, which not only adds to the flavorful taste, but it also means they're free of any harmful antibiotics or hormones that you'll find in most meat. With grass-fed beef, you'll get more nutrients than you would with beef fed with grains. Things like higher levels of omega-3 fats that help reduce inflammation, and more B vitamins and other antioxidants to support your body's converting food into energy, and also more of the fat-soluble vitamins that are beneficial for a healthy heart. Plus, instead of being processed with chemicals and other questionable ingredients, these beef sticks are naturally fermented, so you get gut-friendly probiotics with every bite. How cool is that? Right now, Paleo Valley is offering my listeners 15% off your entire first order. Just go to paleovalley.com/Hyman to check out all their clean paleo products and take advantage of this deal. That's paleovalley.com/Hyman. I definitely recommend stocking up on the grass-fed beef sticks to keep in your house, in your car, and in your office. It's one of my favorite tricks to staying healthy while on the go.
I love finding new products that are good for me and the planet, especially things I use every day. Now, something most people don't think about usually when they think about health is the quality of their mattress. But this is actually one of the areas of your home that has a huge potential to increase or decrease your health and your toxic burden. If you want to truly feel like you're thriving, you got to get a good sleep. Now, most traditional mattresses contain toxins that off-gas and impact air quality over time. These can be in the form of VOCs from polyurethane or other weird chemicals from things like flame retardants. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to be sleeping on something for 8 hours every night that leaches toxins into my air and I breathe it in. And that's why I was really interested to hear about Essentia, the world's only natural memory foam mattress. It's Canadian-made with patented non-toxic, certified organic, vegan technology, specifically with the whole body in mind and whole body wellness in mind. Essentia mattresses are designed to help you get amazing sleep from the inside out. Their patented vegan technology is the only one to address all 7 elements of a stimulant-free sleep environment, from toxins, allergens, heat, and EMFs, to managing pain through dense contouring support. Essentia has poured their energy and knowledge into giving you the best night's sleep so you can wake up and put your energy into all the things you love. Right now is a great time to try Essentia for yourself. If you visit learn.myessentia.com/Dr. Mark Hyman, that's learn.myessentia, ESSENTIA.com/Dr. Mark Hyman, that's Dr. Mark Hyman, you can get their incredible Labor Day offer of 25% off, which is a lot, plus an exclusive offer of 2 free pillows that have a $300 value. That's learn.myessentia.com/Dr. Mark Hyman. I know you're going to love your Essentia mattress as much as I do. And now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy. Welcome back to The Doctor's Pharmacy, and that's pharmacy with an F, a place for conversations that matter. And if you've ever suffered from gallstones or gallbladder disease, this is going to be a great conversation for you because it's going to help you figure out why you got them and how to get rid of them and how to actually deal with this problem, which affects so many people. And today, our guest on a special edition of Doctor's Pharmacy called House Call is none other than my friend and colleague at the Ultra Wellness Center, Dr. George Papanicolaou. Welcome back, George.
Mark, it's always a pleasure. I love talking about functional medicine and how we work with our patients at the Ultra Wellness Center to get to the root cause of what's keeping them from optimal health.
Of course. So you know, gallbladder is such a common problem. It's like one of the most common surgeries. It's such a common problem in America. Tell us about gallbladder disease and what is it? Who gets it? How many people have it? And you know, what are the symptoms and why is it such a big deal? And what do we know about who's getting it and all that? So kind of let's take us down the whole okay. The whole rabbit hole of gallstones, and then we're gonna get into how conventional medicine treats it and what functional medicine approach might be that might be worth trying.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it's almost, you know, so common that it's invisible. And what I mean by that is that people don't really think about it. They don't think about their gallbladder. Why would they think about their gallbladder until it hurts? So gallbladder disease affects 6% to 9% of adult age people between 20 and 70. Of all of those people, they've either had gallbladder disease or had their gallbladder taken out. So it's a pretty large problem. It's a huge healthcare expenditure. It's very, you know, it's a fairly expensive surgery. So it has a big drain on our system. When gallbladder disease, people really don't know that there's anything going on with the gallbladder until they have the symptoms, which is going to be what we call biliary colic. And that's when, you know, you've eaten a meal and then within, you know, half an hour to an hour, you begin to feel really bad pain in your right upper quadrant. And then where's that? That's going to be, you know, below your ribs to the right. And it's going to be really, really painful. And you're not going to like it at all. You're thinking you're having a baby and it's not coming out. It's really painful. And then you can end up in the emergency room and then you're going to be given some medications that will, you know, hopefully relieve your pain. And then if it is a gallstone, then hopefully it will pass on its own. And hopefully there will be no complication. And then you'll leave the emergency room, you'll see your primary care. Your primary care will confirm that you're feeling better and then tell you that you have to lose fat and send you on your way, right? And then we're missing so much. I mean, we've just lost, like, okay, it's not just that you had a stone that didn't pass and you had pain. Get to the root cause.
What is the root cause?
Yeah. Why did the stone end up there in the first place? Right. And so where does it come down to? It comes down to what we always start almost every conversation you and I have. It starts with diet. It starts with the foods that you eat. Yes, there's genetic predisposition. Yes, you can be a female. You can be overweight. You can, you know, be pregnant. You can be 40. You can be a diabetic. You can, you know, have other chronic underlying diseases that predispose you to gallbladder disease, particularly gallstones. But when it comes down to it, it's going to have to do with your diet. Are you eating a high fiber diet? Are you eating a nutritious diet where you're getting all of the, are you getting all of the nutrients that actually keep your gallbladder healthy? Are you drinking enough water in your day? Because the bile that's in the gallbladder is 95% water. And then it's made up of bile acids, bilirubin, fats, amino acids, proteins, enzymes, hormones like estrogen, toxins. Your bile plays a very important role in the detoxification process in your body. If you're not getting what you need to make good bile, then you're going to put your gallbladder, under pressure. And so if you're not drinking enough water, here's what happens. Where's the gallbladder in the first place? It sits right under the liver on the right side. Your liver makes bile, and then that bile goes into the gallbladder where it's stored. And then when you're eating, when fat that you've eaten enters your small intestine, it triggers something called cholecystokinin, which then sends a message or is the messenger to the gallbladder to release the bile. The bile is released, and it will then start breaking down your fat so that you can get all the nutrients that you need out of your fat. And so that's what happens. That's what the gallbladder does. And you need You need healthy bile to then do its job to breaking down the fats. And so where does the problem become? These stones are actually the compounds that are in the bile in the gallbladder that begin to precipitate out. So they start to connect to each other and form crystals. And then these crystals can get really big. So when those crystals get big enough and they become stones, or they become, you know, hundreds of thousands of little crystals that sit in your gallbladder, and on an ultrasound that will be done will just look like sludge. It will look like sand at the bottom of the hourglass sitting in your gallbladder. And so that's how you get the gallstone. Interestingly, this is very interesting. What's the other thing we talk about all the time? The immune system.
Yeah.
The immune system. So when you start creating these crystals, because you're not supporting a healthy gallbladder, or you have a disease process that slows the gallbladder so it doesn't empty, it gets filled up with bile, the bile can't get out, and that's going to trigger again the precipitation out of these compounds that are in your bile, and they'll form the crystals. But here's the interesting thing. There's been research that shows that you have an immune response to these crystals. Your immune system actually sees them as foreigners and sends eosinophils, which are white blood cells, to attack the crystals. The eosinophils get broken down in the acidic environment, and when they become damaged, they begin to form this matrix around the crystal that exponentially increases the precipitation and the formation of the crystals. And then you can get these huge stones that won't pass or get stuck in the duct that leads from the gallbladder into the intestine. Pretty fascinating.
Amazing.
That's how we do it.
A lot from a functional medicine perspective, we see a lot of this in diabetics. A lot of this has to do with insulin resistance and poor metabolic health, which affects, 88% of Americans. So that's why gallbladder disease is such a big deal. And the problems that people suffer from are miserable, pain, vomiting, nausea, just severe issues. And they can't digest their food. And often the traditional treatment is just surgery. But from a functional medicine perspective, what do we think about? How do we begin addressing this? What are the ways that we support these patients? And how do we sort of get them better? And sometimes they do need surgery, but talk about the approach we would take in terms of what diagnostics we would use and how you would help people.
Yeah, sure. So, just for sake of contrast, I would say that, just doing my research for this podcast, it was really fascinating that the gallbladder and bile play a really important role in the body. And to just look, I think this is one of the classic examples the differences between functional medicine and conventional medicine. Because in conventional medicine, it's the stone, it's the pain, it's the complications of the stone. And so if you continue to have stones, we'll take your gallbladder out. If you have a complication to the stone, you have an infection, then we'll take your gallbladder out. And that's it. That's it. There's absolutely no thought as to the role, what got you there, and what the role of bile is in the rest of the process, because it just doesn't break down fat because of with the contents of bile, which spills into your intestine, it can have a huge impact on your gut microbiome. So I just wanted to emphasize that. That's why I said earlier, it's sort of like it's so common, it's invisible. And because, we just take it out, there's even more reason to not think about it, because that's everybody says, a lot of people know, oh, yeah, it's my gallbladder. Now I'm going to have to get it taken out. Their thought is the only cure for their gallbladder is just to take it out. There's no thought to their lifestyle, their nutrition, and the impact that bile is having on their gut microbiome, which might be causing some other symptoms in their GI tract. And
talk about that. Talk about that connection between the microbiome and the gallbladder.
Well, Yeah, that's okay. So, all right, I can enter that highway from multiple routes. So I will go at it from this perspective, when the bile, if it's too acidic, if you have too many toxins in it, and it enters into the, and your nutrition's poor, so you don't have, you don't have enough amino acids in it, you don't have enough proteins or enzymes that actually can be an aid to the bacteria in the gut microbiome to do their job, then it will start to alter the environment of the gut microbiome, and then you'll end up with what we call dysbiosis. The bile will cause damage to the gut microbiome. When that happens, then the organisms that are really healthy start to decline. They become destroyed. Then you start to develop some organisms like Candida that will alter the gut microbiome even more. And some of those commensals that live there, they've been hanging on, in the poop party where it's nice for bacteria to grow. They will start to grow. Now all these bad bacteria take over. You get inflammation. You have a breakdown of the mucosal lining that plays a very important role of protecting your immune system and allowing for the bacteria, the healthy bacteria in your gut microbiome, to communicate to the immune system in a very precise way, because that happens and it's very important. And when that communication system breaks down because the gut mucosa has been damaged, then the immune system begins to be overwhelmed and starts to have inappropriate responses, leading to autoimmunity and leading to inflammation throughout the body. And so that then triggers, this inflammation, then it affects the gallbladder. The gallbladder then, will be affected. And I'll give you an example. If, let's say, you have a gluten sensitivity, and you don't know it, and you eat gluten. Gluten is a real strong potentiator for creating autoimmunity against your thyroid, and it can create Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And there have been studies that show a very strong connection between Hashimoto's and gallbladder disease.
Oh, interesting.
Right? And so, okay. So, what happens? Well, gluten has antigens on it very similar to the thyroid. So when the immune system makes antibodies against the gluten, it can confuse, and those antibodies can attack the thyroid. Okay, what happens? Well, now that's called Hashimoto's. And Hashimoto's, in its end game, stops your thyroid from working. Your thyroid loses function. We call it hypothyroidism. Hypothyroidism slows down the gallbladder's ability to move the bile out. And that becomes the first step in your stones developing. Because if you can't get the bile out in a sluggish gallbladder, then the bile builds up. And now you set up that environment for all those compounds to precipitate out. The threshold for that precipitation to occur lowers as you have more and more bile sitting there under pressure. So that's, you can see there's a cycle there. That's why I said you can't just ignore the fact somebody got a stone. You've got to look for root causes. You've got to look for other disease processes that may have predisposed them to form that stone. The stone's just the beginning of the process.
And the disease process, things like insulin resistance and diabetes, is a big one, which is such a big factor that we deal with. And often that's not really addressed as a way of treating stones. We also deal with the whole gut issues. And what have you seen in your patients with this? You had a patient who was over 40, a woman, she was gaining weight, had gut issues. Tell us about her and your approach. What did you do diagnostically? How did you treat her? What was the outcome?
Sure. So and as we learned in medical school, it's the four or five F's, depending on how you think about it. But unfortunately, it has a lot to do with women. And it has to do with the fact that, when they're pregnant, which is fertile, they're 40. Those are two things that, are high. They're associated with
an overweight, right?
Yeah, overweight. Yeah, fertile. I don't want to say fertile fat.
Fertile fat. That was bad in medical school. We learned all this stuff like fertile fat and 40. That was what we learned.
Yeah.
George didn't want to say it, but I didn't.
So this woman came, and you know, her concerns were that, you know, she was really, you know, feeling fatigued. She had sudden weight gain. You know, she had gone to her PCP. You know, she was told that her thyroid looks fine, the numbers are okay, not to worry. You know, you still got kids. You know, the same old. You're getting older. You have kids. You're running around. You're busy. And so she was just living with this fatigue and this weight gain. And then she started having gut issues. She started having bloating and distension. And so she just couldn't take it anymore, and she came to visit us. She'd had, I think, one episode of pain that sounded like it was gallbladder disease. She it had lasted for an evening. It was after having a really fatty meal. And she hadn't gone to the doctor. She sort of, you know, suffered through the night. And so that she never really dealt with it. So after our first visit, I told her, I really want you to go get an ultrasound of your gallbladder. I said, you have a lot of things going on, but one of the things I need to really find out is if you do have gallbladder disease. And so it turned out that she did. She has some stones, and she probably did have an episode of a stone that passed and caused her some pain. So the complete workup for her involved looking at her hormones, looking at her thyroid, and looking at her gut microbiome and food sensitivities. And so when I got her thyroid numbers back, her TSH was 3.9. Okay. So now, you know, doctors, will look at that and say that's within the normal range, because traditionally they've been taught anything from, 0.45 to 4.5, it can be considered normal. But we've learned more and more that that's not the case. And when you see a 3.9, you see a 4.2, you start to think, I don't think that thyroid really is at optimal function. Well, I also, when I check the thyroid, I also check for antibodies. And when, her antibodies against her thyroid were sky high. She had Hashimoto's thyroiditis. On her food sensitivity panel, she had gluten sensitivity. She did not have celiac disease, but she had gluten sensitivity, Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism, which then set her up for a couple different things. But certainly it slowed her gallbladder down and set her up for having a stone, by the mechanisms I've already explained. And she was estrogen dominant, meaning that relative to progesterone, she had more estrogen than she needed. And she had a history of, a cycle that had been irregular, a cycle that she had a lot of breast tenderness. She had a lot of water retention around her periods. She had PMS around her period. And that screams estrogen dominance. And she's that most of her life. So what did I do? Step by step. We just started to deal with the underlying issues. I started to treat her thyroid, treat her Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I treated her. She had SIBO, by the way. So first thing we did, we stopped the gluten. So she was off of gluten. And that's going to, you definitely want to do that, because if you have sensitivity to it and you get one autoimmune disease like Hashimoto's, then you're going to set yourself up for more, because it's more likely that you'll get another one once you have one. Mm. So gluten stopped, and then we addressed her SIBO, SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. We put her on a low FODMAP diet, which helped address that. I used some antimicrobials that were botanicals that addressed that.
How did she do?
She did great. Obviously, she did. It took a while to get her hormones under control and balance those out. It took a little while to get her SIBO under control. But once we had the SIBO under control, we got her thyroid function down from 3.9. Got it down to 1.2, her energy was back. She felt great. And then, you know, as we work with her diet and we clean up her SIBO, she was back to normal in a very short course of time, within 3 months.
It's amazing. So we really can't affect people's course. And she really didn't need surgery then.
She did not need surgery. Amazing. And as I said before, you know, and I explained this to her, I said, the stones are just enigmatic of the bigger problem. You know, they're the canary in the coal mine of your nutrition not being where it needs to be, and you maybe having excess toxins in your system, and the estrogen dominance. Estrogen, you know, needs to be metabolized, and it is in the liver, and it ends up in the gallbladder. But if it's in too higher concentrations, it can have a very negative impact on gallbladder function. So her estrogen dominance, her SIBO, her thyroid, it was a matter of time before she had SIBO. And if, you know, if she had had that stone and gone to the emergency room and hadn't passed it, she would have had her gallbladder taken out and nobody would have ever addressed these other issues.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I've seen patients who really been able to turn things around by correcting them and correcting their diet and their lifestyle and taking the right supplements. And, you know, it's not an easy condition for sure, because if you already have big stones and it's blocking things, sometimes, you need to have it dealt with. And after people have surgery, I mean, are they restricted in what they can eat? Does often people say, well, I can't eat fat. Is that true? Can they use enzymes? What is the sort of consequences of actually having the surgery?
Well, you know, the consequence of surgery is that now the gallbladder can no longer store the bile. So the bile can freely flow into the small intestine. And so, you know, in regards to the ability for the bile to do its job, it's not going to be being triggered appropriately. So it's really important that if you've had your gallbladder out, that you take something called ox bile with your meals so that you can appropriately break down your fats. It can have a significant role because you may not break your fats down completely, and you need those important, you know, fatty acids, your omega-3s, your DHA, your EPA that you get from your fat. And if you can't get them, then it's going to have a huge impact on you. In regards to foods you can eat, it's more what you should eat. I think there are restrictions, but they're not always necessary. It's really making sure that you're getting, you know, a higher fiber diet. You're getting foods that are going to be favorable to your gallbladder. You know, celery. What are some of the other ones? Help me out here, Mark. You're coming up with foods. Bitters
are great.
Green leafy vegetables, things that they can be very helpful. So
absolutely.
Then the key thing becomes staying away from, you know, all the processed carbohydrates, staying away from meats that are not organic, that have lots of toxins in them. And if you do that, you take your ox bile, increase your fluid intake, add in some bile salts, which you can do through supplementation. You should be able to live pretty healthy after that. Even more healthy, because we're going to change your diet, because we're going to say, look, these are the things that got you to the stones, and now you're going to have a really good leverage point on getting people to start to eat a healthier diet.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, the truth is that there's so much we can do, and it's such a hopeful message for those who have gallbladder disease and can actually make a difference in the course. Maybe they'll need surgery, but maybe they won't if they try some of these other things that we use in functional medicine. And we take care of all sorts of patients like this at the Ultra Wellness Center in Lenox. We have a great team of 5 docs and 5 nutritionists and a great support staff, and we really love to see you. So come visit us. And of course, we have a long waiting list, but hopefully we'll get you in soon. And if you like this podcast, please share with your friends and family on social media. If you had gallbladder disease and you learned something about it that you want to share, please leave a comment. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you next week on The Doctor's Pharmacy. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from.
And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter. And in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter. And I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.